Good morning, church. Oh, that's wonderful. It is great to hear you. Great to see you. One of the important aspects of being disciples of Jesus and worshipers of God is to get together and praise his name, to be able to hear and experience others doing the same as we are. So we are going to praise the Lord starting right off. If you're able, would you stand and join us on this? Lift high the name of Jesus our King. Make known the power of his grace, the beauty of his peace. Remember how his mercy reached as we cried out to him. He lifted us to solid ground, to freedom from our sin. Oh, sing my soul and tell all he's done, till the earth and heavens are filled with his glory. Lift high the name of Jesus our Lord. His power in us is greater than this world. To share the reason for our hope, to serve with love and grace, that all who see him shine through us might bring the Father praise. Oh, sing my soul and tell all he's done, till the earth and heaven are filled with his glory. Lift high the name of Jesus our life. No other name on earth can save, can raise a soul to life. He opens up our eyes to see the harvest he has grown. We labor in his field of grace, and he leads sinners home. Oh, sing my soul and tell all he's done, till the earth and heavens are filled.
Sing it again. Oh, sing.
Oh, sing my soul and tell all he's done, till the earth and heavens are filled with his glory.
Till the earth.
Till the earth and heavens are filled with his glory. Till the earth and heavens are filled with his glory.
Amen. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in joy. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone.
Good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here today. We're glad that you're watching, if you're watching at home. If you're here and you have information that you'd like to communicate to us, a prayer request, or you would like some more information on some specific topic, you can use the QR code that you find in the pew to just click on that. It will allow you to send that information to us, or you can email us from home. And we will be sure that we get that information to you and let you know what's happening here at Cross Point. There's a few announcements I want to make you aware of. Beginning tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, Pastor Matt's facilitating men's Bible study. And so that'll be the first meeting of that group. 7 o'clock in here, and we are working through the book of Romans. And so you will want to be here if you are able to do that. If you're coming in on a Monday night, we're asking that you use these doors here, the sanctuary doors that you normally would, and you can come in to find the men's study. There's also women's studies on Monday evening and Wednesday morning this week. There's additional studies that are going to start in October. You can read more about the women's studies at yourc3.org/women. Also, beginning tonight is our high school Rooted begins tonight. There's detailed information on that. If you go to yourc3.org/rooted2020, we are also having our 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th grade groups meeting on Tuesday nights this fall. And so they will be meeting on Tuesday night, and that begins this week. We're still looking forward to October the 3rd when we're hosting our marriage night. this simulcast event for couples presented by Right Now Media. There is a cost to that, and it's $30. There's a home streaming option that's available as well, and you can read more about that at the church website also. Towards the end of this month, on September 28th, our church has committed to go to the Detroit Rescue Mission. If that's something that interests you, you can go ahead and email the church office, and they will put you in contact with Bruce Anderson, who can explain more about what that entails and what that's all about. So there's a lot of good things happening here at Cross Point. One thing that I would ask that you be praying for this week, starting tomorrow, our nursery school reopens for school. And so we have some wonderful teachers and staff here. We have some great families and wonderful children that are going to be filling these hallways. And so pray for them. Pray for Lisa Moen, who's the director of that school. Pray for Kayla Clark, who works in the front office. Pray for Julie Ressler and many others, Antoinette Rue, who attend here and that are involved in the school. And we want that to be done well, and we're excited that we can do that. So be praying for that this week. Will you pray with me now? Father, we're grateful to come together to worship with an eye towards that day when you return, looking forward to when you will make all things right, because we feel and sense and see that there is so much wrong. There's wrong inside of us. There's wrong outside of us. There's wrong all around us. And we hear daily different messages, different ways that we're told things can be made right, but we know that the only way things will be made right is by you. And so, Lord, as we gather together today, we do so with that in mind. We want to make your Son the center of our life because he has died for our sins. He has been resurrected and he's alive. We want to build our life and our hope around that glorious truth, because that is what will hold firm. That is what will see us through. As we continue to worship this morning, may our minds be centered on you. May we be looking towards you, and may we set aside the concerns of today, of tomorrow, of however long our concerns are. And may instead we revel in the joy that we have in our salvation, the beauty of who you are and what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. Help us to worship today. Help us to worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me, I won't fear.
Sing, I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing.
Stand and sing this. Yes.
He always guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul. Mercy and goodness give me assurance that I'll see his glory. I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory, your spirit lives within me.
Matthew chapter 4 starts out like this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." See, Satan knew that God could do, and the Son of God could do these miraculous things, because he knew God's words. But he was kind of picking and choosing on what he would accuse him of. Do this. Jesus is making it very, very clear that not only do you not live just by physical bread, but by the word of God, but by every word. It's so important to know every word. It's important to know this word that gives life and it keeps us from deception. It's also comforting, as we have, many of us have relied on the 23rd Psalm that we just sang about. And I think that these authors of these old songs that I grew up with knew that about the word and the power of the word. So we're going to be reminded of that with these songs.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you Jesus have fled. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not I only desire.
song that might not be as familiar to many of you, but I think you'll be able to pick it up. Break now the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word.
Oh, send thy spirit, Lord. Sing that.
Oh, send thy spirit, Lord. The Lord,
bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.
Chorus one more time. Stand.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Heavenly Father, I do pray that that's true. That's what we base our life on, and that's what we stand on when times get shaky and the ground underneath us seems to be giving way and not firm. We know we have a firm foundation on the promises that you have made in your word. And now as Pastor Jason comes, I pray that we would let those words penetrate us and become part of us, and that so that we can live them out, so that we can experience that firm foundation, and that we would know that we are yours. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege we've had to come before your throne. I lift this up and pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, you may be seated.
We are in Hebrews chapter 10, which is different than 1 Peter, I'm sure you're aware. So we've skipped out of that just for a week. And we're going to talk about being here, coming back to church. This week, all of my children were in school in one form or another. You know, and this is not going to be a therapeutic time for Jason to just tell you how his week went. All right, but all of my kids were doing some form of schoolwork. And what I always find when school starts and when they start to do things and bring it home and ask me how much I don't really remember. You know, my freshman in high school, I had to quiz him on cellular biology, which I had worked very hard to not have to deal with for years, right? And so I'm trying to remember what mitochondria are and endoplasmic reticulum and all these kinds of words that I had forgotten and was kind of glad to have forgotten. But now I have to remember them again. My youngest even is practicing writing letters. And I'm like, oh, here's how you write that. No, Dad, that's not how you write it. Or the worst is math, because I do math one way and they do math another way. And that's not how you do it. And so you come to understand that you've forgotten a lot of things. And so we need to remember. We need to be reminded. And it helps when you're looking at that and the kid looks at you and says, well, it's this. And then things start to come back, and you start to return to that mindset, to that way of thinking. You know, sometimes what we need to do as believers, what we need to do as people of Crosspoint, really is to remind one another why we're here. Remind one another of what we do as people of Crosspoint, why it is that we gather, why it is that we come together, that we're here to help make Christ the center of our life. Now, the elders, in working through what we think would be wise for people to do as they develop this concept of Jesus being at the center of our life, have identified four things that we encourage everyone to be a part of. We want people to attend a worship service. We think it's important for people to be involved in Bible study. We think that believers who are plugged into a church should serve. And so we encourage service, and we want people to find accountability. And if we were to put a whiteboard up here and you were to give me other things, we could certainly come up with a longer list. But those are the four things that really we feel function as a vehicle to help us do even those other things, like fellowship and prayer and other important things for believers can happen within and as a part of those four things that we've identified. And these aren't just ideas that we came up with. These aren't just thoughts from some sort of Christian growth book or magazine. These things, we believe, are thoroughly biblical. And so this morning we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 23. And this book, this is a heavy, deep book. Whenever I come to this book in my devotional reading, I'm always like, all right, I'm ready to dive in. This is going to be tough. And sometimes I just get lazy. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to skim it. Because there's deep stuff here, stuff that we have to think through. These deep theological underpinnings of our faith. And then when we come to chapter 10, which is where we're at today, the author of the letter gives a number of reminders that's centered. They're really centered around the faith of believers and how it works its way out in a community of believers. So if you're able, I want to invite you to stand as we read together. Starting in verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Father, add a blessing to the reading of your word. Keep my words clear this morning. I pray that that what I say will be accurate and will be what you would have me say. And I pray that our hearts will be open to the Spirit and change us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there are three things here that I think we need to be reminded of from time to time. And three things that the author brings out that we want to look at here this morning. And the first is this, that we need to remember the gospel. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. In my life, there have been a number of times where I've gone rappelling, right? Like down the side of a mountain, down the side of a cliff. Anybody ever done that before? Yeah, it's fun. I love it. All right, but the first time I went, I remember thinking, my mother has been preparing me my entire life to not do this, all right? Because my mother, whenever we would go anywhere, she would say, do not go near the edge of anything, the edge of a bowling alley, the edge of anything. And my mom was just, you stay away from edges. What's the first thing? They put a rope on you, and they say, you need to back up to that edge, backwards. And then I could hear my mom the whole time, you know, lean back over the cliff, and I can hear my mom saying, do not do that. I remember one time when my family took a vacation to Niagara Falls. My father is forever wearing these strange hats that fly off. And one of his hats flew away. And it's just a normal hat. I say strange hat. Now you're wondering what's wrong with my dad. All right, but it's a hat that flew off over a fence, right? Now past that fence was another fence and then probably another fence before you were in any kind of danger. Well, my dad jumps the fence. My mother's losing it. You're going to fall. Back up, Daryl. My brother and I are just laughing. All right, my mom would not like this at all. You back up, you lean back, enjoy the ride down, none of that. My mother will never rappel. Never. All right, but for it to go right, for rappelling to go right, you have to be anchored into something that isn't going to move. You have to be anchored to something that will hold tight. The author of Hebrews here says, hold tight, don't waver. There's a strong hope that we affirm, and that hope is rooted in the very nature of God. He tells us he can be trusted, that God keeps his promises. Scripture is replete with examples of God doing exactly what he said he's going to do. When God says something's going to happen, it happens. The gospel is rooted, the good news of Jesus is rooted in God himself. The truth of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, how it changes our life. This is proof that God does exactly what he says he's going to do. If we're reading the Bible from cover to cover, when we come to Genesis 3, when God removes Adam and Eve from the garden because they've sinned, God in that moment, as he's declaring the curse, is also declaring a promise that one day someone will come who will turn this back. And then as we keep reading through Scripture, all right, we're seeing it build towards the fulfillment of that promise. Who is Jesus Christ? The narrative of the Bible builds towards Christ. When he comes, he's announced as the Messiah. Jesus is announced as the promised one. God has kept his promise. When Jesus dies and is resurrected, it's further proof that God keeps his promises. And he's done that in the person of Jesus. And if we believe and trust that Christ's death saves and delivers those people who trust him, and that's enough to turn back the weight of their sin, then we can have hope that this life is not the end. And when this is real to us, we find that the gospel is something we can hold on to. That is something we hold to. It's something firm. It's something that lasts. And this is what we need to hold tight to, but we don't always do that. A lot of times we attach our life to something that's a little less. And anything less isn't enough. I've been challenged during these unique times to look at, what am I holding on to? Am I holding on to my own health? Am I living to make sure that I stay healthy? Am I living to hold on to my freedom? Am I holding on to this false sense of control? Am I holding on to my own desires and preferences? None of these things are worth holding on to tight, because it's like hitching yourself to a weed as you go to rappel down a cliff. It's not going to hold. Your health will give way. We want something that will hold. And so we need to remember what it is that we latch ourselves to, and that's the truth of Christ. Are you holding on to that? Are you holding on to the gospel? What I would challenge you to do is to remind yourself of this every day. Take time, really, out of every day to rehearse the truth of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how it has changed your life. Write it down. Sing it as a song. Share it with someone. But there should not be a day that goes by that we don't remember, rehearse, recite what Christ did. Because that's what our life is built around. We also want to remember to grow. He says, the author says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I love the way it's written, because there's this communal feel, right? It doesn't say you do this, it says let us. I mean, there's this idea that we are together, and that's an important part of the Christian message. It's an important part of, really, from the dawn of creation, that God puts us here to be in relationship with him, but also to be in relationship with other people. This is something, then, this motivating is something that happens together. And at the root of any love and good work of what we do is Scripture. Because here's the thing, if we just say, hey, let's motivate each other to love and good works, we as people can come up with all sorts of things that we think represent love and good works. We need a guide, right? We need instruction, because our hearts are deceptive, and they'll take us in the wrong direction. So we need something to direct our eyes towards what is lovely, what is good. And the thing that we have that does that is Scripture. It's the Bible. It directs us to do justice and to love mercy. It calls us to love our enemies as well as our neighbors. It says to care for widows and orphans. The Bible recounts for us the life of Christ as the perfect demonstration of love and good works. So if the Bible is the place to go as we think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, then we should be people who are in our Bible. We should be people who are reading our Bible, who are studying our Bible, who are focused in on it. Now, I will talk to people from time to time, and I'll be honest with you, it's usually men, who will say, you know what, I'm just not a reader. I don't really study things. And I'm tired of it. It's the worst excuse in the world. Because some of us can sit down and you can notch out all of the 1968 Tigers or the 1957 Lions, the last time they were relevant, all right? You can do those kinds of things. You know, you can pop the hood of a car and tell me where a water pump is, because if I need to find it, I am going to call you. All right, there's things that you can do, and so sometimes we as men, we've kind of embraced this lie that we can't study the Bible. Now, I'm not saying everyone is going to walk around like with a huge Bible, some sort of I know where I can find all of it. No, but we are going to read it. We are going to study it. And this has to be a conscious decision. I do hope that when you're here with us, whether it's online or you're in here, that you learn something every Sunday. It is not Pastor Matt's goal, nor is it my goal, that you will come and leave and be like, there was nothing today. I mean, they told a joke that I found funny, but I didn't learn one thing. Right? We're hoping that you learn something. But this isn't enough. Okay, a half hour to 40 minutes, 45 if it's you. I'm just kidding. All right? If we're here, that's not enough. All right, you need to be in the Bible on your own. You need to be doing this on your own. It needs to be a discipline in your life. You have to take responsibility for your own spiritual development. When I was a school teacher, it came exam time of 1 year, and this student came in and told me, he's like, "Mr. Copeland, this is my favorite time of the year." And I remember thinking very clearly, I know you, I know your grades. This should not be your very favorite time of the year. You should dread this. And so I just said, just out of curiosity, why do you like this time so much? He's like, "Well, there's no homework." It's like, all I got to do is come and take a test. I don't have to work at anything. Bingo, right? This is the problem, right? He had in his mind just to say, studying, not important. Learning, not important, right? He wasn't taking the responsibility to grow. We have to do that. And as we grow, we learn. As we develop, we come to have a better handle on these things. We come to have a greater knowledge because Bible study brings a deeper knowledge. I mean, how many times have you been somewhere where someone starts a statement off by saying, "Well, you know, the Bible says," and then they give something that you're 85% sure was never in the Bible. Like, you're pretty sure Ben Franklin may have said that, but that is not in the book of Proverbs. And so you start to hear these things, but you're not certain. How do we know? The only way that we're going to know between this kind of pseudo-biblical teaching that we do here in culture and what Scripture really teaches is to know what the Bible teaches. If you are good enough with this, then you're going to pick up on those things. You're going to hear that, and you're going to come up with ways to just lovingly and winsomely say, "You are wrong," all right? And there's a better way than "you are wrong." But you have to know what's here. We have to have that deeper knowledge that comes. That's why we study it. But it can't end there. Sometimes it does for people. Some of us, we're just fact gatherers, right? We're just hoping one day we're the phone call for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So we're just learning all sorts of things and tucking it into the folds of our brain and keeping it there. We just love information. The Bible has to be more than that. It is not just about building a deeper knowledge. When all we do is read Scripture for knowledge, it will puff us up. We'll become arrogant and think we're better and know better and are better and all these things. Bible study also needs to bring deeper affection. As we come to know more and more and understand more and more, then we begin to see how much God loves us. We come to embrace and love Christ who gave himself for us. We start to see things differently because our relationship has changed us. As a parent, there are things that I watch or see now that I saw as a child that move me emotionally that as a kid never did because of relationship. I challenge anyone to watch the end of Toy Story 3 and not get choked up. All right? But if you're a kid, there's nothing to be sad about there. But when you're a parent, right, it's different. When you're an adult, it's different. When you can see the emotions going through something, it's different. All right? Bible study should deepen that relationship with our Creator and with our Savior, such that we begin to have a deeper affection, a deeper thankfulness for the salvation that we enjoy, that we're able to relate freely with God, that we can approach the throne of grace in confidence. And if this doesn't change us, then it's just another subject we're studying. But if it changes us, it's going to bring deeper affection. So let me ask, what are you doing to study the Bible? It's good to study the Bible on your own. I think we should all be doing that. All right, but I would also say with others. It's vital to the growth and the depth of the Christian community, of our church, that we study the Bible together. And this is so helpful because others will bless you in your study and you will be a blessing to other people. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't talk much because I don't feel like I have much to say." You have something. You have experiences and you have understandings and things that have happened in your life that other people need to hear. They need to hear about how God has been working in your life, how as you read this passage, it applied specifically to your situation. These are things that we need to share. And also, another reason that studying the Bible in community is important together is because, frankly, sometimes we're just wrong. Sometimes you've studied the Bible, you've come up with some sort of idea, and you walk into the room, you're like, I understand all this. And then some nice, kind person is just going to say, you know what? Let's look at that again. Because you're about as wrong can be. And it's happened to all of us. And rather than being shouted down, we need to have confidence that when we come together in community to discuss Scripture, we're going to encourage and hold one another accountable. So what is it that you are doing to grow? I want to walk you through some of the Bible study opportunities we have at Crosspoint. All right, we have women's studies, really a myriad of women's studies, Monday night and Wednesday morning, some in person, some online. You can go to yourc3.org/women. You can find more information on that. You can know and understand what are your options. I know some people will sometimes say, well, it's already started. And I get that. It's hard to jump into something that's already going on. But email the church. Ask Tracy Guzmano, who's our women's ministry coordinator, will funnel you towards her, and she can tell you, here's a good study to join. Here's a good thing for you. All right, we have men's study on Monday night. Pastor Matt is going to start Romans. He's starting that tomorrow. That's going to be in person here. So you can be a part of that. And then next Sunday, alternating for 4 weeks between Pastor Matt and I, we're going to do a study called God Is, which is a study of God's attributes. And so if you're here in the 9:30 service, if you're watching at home, then after this service is over, you can head to your home. You can log on. You can be a part of that study. You can just stay on, I suppose. But we want you to find a way to be involved in Bible study in community. So what is it that you will do? The last thing that I want to talk about here that I think the author helps us with is the importance to remember the need to gather. Hebrews says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another. We need to remember to come together. And now before we go too far, this does not mean you have to physically be here. I want to be clear on that. I'm not trying to guilt people into coming out here. It doesn't mean you have to physically be here. This, as it was written, it's not specific to a worship sense. When the author writes this, he's not specifically thinking about coming together in a worship setting. It's not a ploy here to increase physical attendance or something along that. I understand that during a time like this, there are some who simply cannot be here for health reasons or out of a desire to protect loved ones. I know that a lot of you really want to be here, so please don't feel guilty because of what I'm saying. But there are others of us who've embraced this kind of worship at our own pace and place mentality, that not being here, not engaging with your church family, isn't about health or concern. It's more about preference and ease. Now, before all of this began, before March, if we were to rewind a year where no one even knew what COVID meant, from time to time, I would hear someone say things like, I can worship anywhere. I can worship on the golf course. I don't need to be in church. There's truth to that, right? And as believers, we should be worshiping wherever we're at. We should never assume that worship only happens in a building or only when we can get together with a certain amount of people. You should be able to worship personally. But the coming together of God's people in Scripture is a theme that develops time and time again because we were made as relational people to relate to a holy God. Time after time in the Bible, we see the beauty of God's people coming together. When Moses goes before Pharaoh, his initial request is that Pharaoh may release the Israelite people simply to go into, or the Hebrew people, to go into the wilderness to worship together. David leads an army of priests and worshipers through the city while he's dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. Lots of people together. Hezekiah gathers the people together to worship. King Josiah does the same, bringing them together so that they can hear the word. In Nehemiah, the people of Jerusalem gather to hear the word read, and they are attentive as Ezra reads. In the New Testament, as Jesus ascends to heaven after that, the disciples gather together in the upper room. In Acts 2, we're told the believers of the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the coming together. Paul and Peter lead in worship services throughout the book of Acts. In Revelation, we see that in heaven, we will gather to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will do this together, every tribe, tongue, and nation. There's an essential part of coming together, and we do not want to forsake this. We do not want to lose out on the joy and community of such an event. And why? Why? Because worshiping it redirects our focus. When we come together, it redirects our focus, because sometimes we arrive together. Sometimes at any point in our life, really, our mind is on all sorts of other things, our job, our family, whatever struggles we might be going on to, friends, situations. And so we should bring these things and cast them at the feet of the cross and marvel again at who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Worship moves our focus out of ourselves and our situation. It puts it squarely back on Christ, who's supposed to be the center of our life. And what worship does, it doesn't just redirect our focus, but it reminds us, and again, it reminds us of the gospel. Listen, we don't come here and just sing songs about how to be happy, how great it is to be happy. We don't come and sing, hey, the top 40 song that we can find that just talks about how lovely life is. You know, we don't hum Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah every week or something like that. We sing songs, we sing songs that remind us of the gospel. We don't preach sermons about three steps for success or how to manage your time better. Those are good things. You should read about them, but that's not what we come here. That's not what you come here to hear. That's not what we come here to preach. Because it's our intent in song and word to point ourselves back to the gospel. It's our intent to get back to the wonder of who God is. This is how we gather together. We gather together to encourage. We point each other back to the truth of who Jesus is, what he's done, and how it changes us. So in that sense, corporate worship, together worship, is important because of what it reminds us of and what it encourages us to collectively. So let me ask you this. How are you gathering for worship? This is a unique question to ask, because honestly, the people who I really want to ask that to aren't you. It's not you watching. But you know someone. You know people who were here before, and you're just not sure what they're up to now. There are some people who you were just church friends with, maybe pew buddies with. And you would see them every Sunday and probably ask the same questions. How are the kids? Some weather we're having. Have you been able to golf? But since we haven't been able to be here, or since it's been odd in coming, you haven't seen them. So you don't really know what's going on with them. My encouragement to you this week is reach out to someone you have not seen. Reach out to someone you have not connected to. And ask them, hey, what are you doing to gather? Say, I'm in first service. Are you at second service? Are you watching from home? How are you engaged with Crosspoint? How are you engaged in a church? How are you gathering? I'll remind you of our three options, even though you don't need to be reminded, but I will. Right, we have this 9:30 a.m. service where we're here, and you all are wonderfully following the guidelines that we've set up. You're graciously doing what we've asked. You're wearing masks during this service. Our 11 o'clock service, masks are not required as they are here. And then we're live streaming our 9:30 and our 11 service. There are opportunities for people to gather with us, to gather together in some way. And if you are watching online, here's what I want to encourage you to do. You can chat. You can find that little chat box and just say that you're here. Say a note of encouragement to someone. Say even, good to see you again. We can say that even though you're not seeing them per se. But engage. Let people know you're here. These three options, I think, provide something for each person wherever you find yourself today. But again, I want to give a gentle push to some. And it would be those of you that are watching at home, just a gentle one to say, if you've engaged in every other area of your life, if you've found ways to be involved in everything else, but you're staying away from this place, not out of concern, but more out of desire or enjoying church in your pajamas or whatever it might be, you need to re-engage in a different way. If everything else is open to you in your life, but you've not come here, I want to encourage you to come. Now, if you show up next Sunday, we're not going to say, you were one of those, weren't you? I know, I haven't seen you till now, and Pastor Jason said something last week, so here's your sign. We're not going to do that. We'll rejoice with you when you come. One of the great things I've loved about this is that every week I see a new face. Every week I see someone who I haven't seen for months. And again, maybe it's the getting older part, but you get a little choked up. And we would love to see you too. Being connected as much as possible is important for our growth as believers and our growth as a church. So these are the three things that we want to remember. We've got to remember the gospel. And when we're in 1 Peter, I always say, Peter never goes far from Jesus. And we here never want to go far from Jesus. So let me ask you, are you holding on to that? Some of you may be watching or you might be here and you're like, I really don't understand what that means. Seek me out. Find Pastor Matt. Sometimes we say things in ways that we understand and you might not. That's on us. It's not on you. Help us to be clear what that means. We want to be growing in Scripture and we want to be gathering in worship. So here's what we're going to do as we kind of come to the end of the service. Ed's going to come out in a moment and he's going to play quietly while I ask all of you to answer this basic question, what are you doing to grow? There's a QR code that you'll find on the pew somewhere. And what we would like for you to do is to scan that QR code, and we would like for you to let us know how are you engaged in Bible study and how are you attending our worship gathering. We're trying to understand as elders, as leadership, where everyone is. We're trying to know who's engaged where so that we can encourage you, so that we can be there for you, so that we can be better pastors, so that we can be better elders, better staff members of Crosspoint. This will help us greatly to be able to determine at what level you all are re-engaging, so that then we can see maybe we need to do something different. Maybe we need to think in a different way. How can we encourage? And so I want to encourage you to take some time to consider this. And you might say, you know what, I haven't done anything yet, but here's what I want to do. So take some time to think about that, just a few moments, and then after a couple minutes, Ed's going to lead us in a closing song, reminding us that we want to be focused on what God has for us, not just what we want. Father, we are thankful to be able to gather in some way, some at home, some here. Lord, we're grateful for the ability to do that. We're thankful for people who are willing to teach and lead Bible studies, for the people of our church who have valued that over the years and have developed that ministry. Lord, as we go from here today, may we have a clear path forward. How are we going to study the Bible in community? And Lord, how are we going to continue to worship and gather with your people? I pray that as we go from here, you'll help us to encourage others. Help us to find a loving and kind way to reach out to and check into and encourage those that we haven't seen, those who we haven't been able to contact or engage with. Give us wisdom in that. And Lord, as we go from here, may we live in such a way that brings glory to you and that brings honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.